Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you that you have shown us your way in Jesus Christ. As we continue to follow that way in our lives, strengthen us today that we will keep our focus on your kingdom and your purposes in our lives. Enable us now to hear your word as you invite us and exhort us and call us. Open our hearts and minds to hear and enable us to respond in faith and obedience. We just pray this for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we learn at the beginning of today's scripture I just read that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. That's not the first time that Luke has mentioned this. Back near the end of chapter 9, we were reminded of it. Not because Luke is a stickler for geography primarily, or because we need to note it for that particular reason, but because we need to keep the larger story in view of what's going on here. We need to remember where Jesus is headed, his journey. It's more than just a sequence of stops in a series of towns and villages. It's more than just a bunch of pushpins on a map. It's a path, a way toward his own suffering and death. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now, along that way, someone in the crowd shouts out a question. "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" It's not really probably just that one person's question. It's probably on the hearts and minds of lots of folks in that crowd, partly because they've heard Jesus already teaching about the urgency of the kingdom of God, about the cost of signing on with him and becoming one of his disciples. They already sense from what Jesus has said and done that making it into the realm of God, this is no smooth and easy path that a limitless multitude will use to just coast on into the reign of God. "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Now, Jesus answers this question indirectly, focusing not primarily on how many will be saved, but on how we can be saved. He uses the image of a door, and not just any door, he says, a narrow door. So there's an invitation, an open door, but it's not a door that's easy to get through. It takes effort. It takes, in other words, entering the kingdom of God that requires focus, discipline. And what's more, this door of opportunity, well, it won't stay open forever, he says. This narrow door is the soon-to-be-shut door as well. And you don't want to be among those who are left standing outside, he says, knocking and pleading to be let in. Lord, open the door for us. Lord, open the door for us. But the one who owns the house and hosts this gathering answers, I don't know you or where you come from. What do you mean you don't know us? Some of them reply. We've had meals with you. We've listened to what you've preached and taught. But he still won't let them in, we're told. The Lord says, knowing me involves more than just being in my presence, hearing what I have to say. Real relationship, he says, runs deeper. And hearing itself isn't enough. How much have you really done what I taught you, what I preached to you? So our Lord reminds us that just casual interest in Jesus isn't the same thing as true repentance and faith. There's a difference. When the time comes, he says, for the final reckoning, having a religious heritage, having checked off a series of beliefs maybe on a list, having hung around with Jesus, won't be enough. How you get assessed, we're told, will be based on how much you've truly followed the way of Jesus in your life and become shaped and conformed to his likeness in your life. That's what it means, he says, for you to know him and for him to know you, that personal kind of knowledge of Jesus Christ. During his career in the government, Arthur F. Burns occupied a lot of prominent and influential roles and responsibilities. He was once head of the Federal Reserve System. He was the ambassador to Germany. He even served as an economic counselor to several presidents. And during the 1970s, Burns, who was Jewish, began attending a weekly prayer meeting that was held at the first times he started attending this meeting. Some of the others in the group weren't sure exactly how to involve him, but one author summarizes it when he says, one week the group was being led by a newcomer, and the way it worked was each week a different person would take a turn closing the meeting in prayer. Well, this newcomer didn't know much about Arthur Burns, and so he just jumped right in and asked him, would you go ahead and close our meeting with prayer, Mr. Burns? And some of the old timers who were there were a little bit surprised. They were worried about how this might all turn out. But without missing a beat, Burns reached out and he asked the others there to join hands with one another. And he prayed this prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bring Jews to know Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would bring Muslims to know Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would bring Christians to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Burns was onto something by this prayerful challenge, really, to us who profess faith in Jesus Christ, to carefully consider how much we truly know him and how much we're truly living according to his word and his will in our lives. There's a quotation that's attributed to the author and storyteller Garrison Keillor. I think it sometimes comes in slight variations, but it essentially goes like this. Anyone who thinks sitting in church can make you a Christian must also think sitting in a garage can make you a car. Jesus' answer and to the crowd's question there that day about how many will be saved effectively closes the door on the presumption that just a casual association with Jesus or with the community of his followers is enough to merit admission to God's reign. It's no wonder that a few chapters earlier, when Luke first tells us that Jesus is setting course for Jerusalem, Jesus immediately starts talking about the costliness of being one of his followers. And he culminates with, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I like the way that author Eugene Peterson puts it when he tries to translate part of today's text and Jesus answering this question, will only a few be saved? According to Peterson, Jesus says, whether few or many is none of your business. Put your mind on your life with God. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires your total attention. Now, as I noted earlier, entering the kingdom of God requires focus, like I said, and discipline, like I said. And in our text, this is captured by part of Jesus' answer to that question, where he says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. That phrase, make every effort, comes from a term that basically means to strive. It was a word that the Greeks often used to describe the agony of the athlete in the stadium. Then as now, athletic excellence doesn't just happen. It takes effort. It takes strenuous work. Other kinds of things that go with it requires training. It requires resisting distractions. It requires making sacrifices. Requires practicing self-denial. And so similarly, Jesus says, when it comes to entering the reign of God, Jesus says, you must make every effort, strive, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. So salvation involves a certain kind of spiritual fitness, Jesus says. There's a minister and author named Tony Jones. He talks about the danger of over-relying on head knowledge in order to follow Jesus faithfully. And that's certainly part of what discipleship is about, but it's way more than that as well. There's also a need, he says, for simply getting in there and doing what Jesus says to do. Being obedient to his command and his commission to us. Jones puts it this way, you have to get a feel for the game, he says. Following Jesus is like that. You can listen to innumerable sermons, read countless books, but the true transformation happens only when you practice the disciplines that are at the heart of the Christian faith. He says, as the disciplines are practiced, your life becomes more attuned to God's life. You become more at one with the rhythms of creation. Like a finely trained athlete, you anticipate the movement on the field. Like a world-class pianist, you actually inhabit the music as you take notes on the page and give them life. Like an expert carpenter, he says, you run your hands over the grain of the wood and see what this rough cut can become. Remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way, we're told, to the cross. And those who want to be saved, those who want to come into the realm of God, we're told, have to follow a path that's also defined by Christ's cross. And that means a life of self-denial, a life of self-giving, a life of dying to self in order to truly live in and through the power of Jesus Christ as part of the kingdom of God. I like the way one person has put it when they say, access to God is not a wide open, take any route you want affair. He sets the routes, ways, and means. And that's why as followers of our Lord, we still believe that Jesus himself always has been, always is, and always will be the way. The way. According to him, those who take his way, this way, will come from many different directions. If you go back to what he describes there in our text today, and that's because the invitation goes out to the whole world. God wants everyone to have access to his blessing through Jesus. But note that this doesn't entail universal salvation. In other words, the belief that eventually everyone gets saved and enjoys the life of heaven, the reign of God. That teaching is so much at odds with so much of what the Bible says about those who experience and enter into the reign of God through faith in Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ and the blessedness of God's presence, because they have received the kingdom, in contrast to those who will experience eternal death because they have rejected Christ and the reign of God and the kingdom of God in the world and in their lives. So Jesus' words here today in our text, and his word to us about a narrow door that eventually becomes a closed door, are a sobering warning that how you and I respond to the power of God and the presence of God in our lives makes all the difference now and forever. How you respond to God's presence and power in the world and in your life and the good news of his kingdom. Jesus says, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their place in the kingdom of God. Indeed, he says, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. Notice how our Lord keeps us on our spiritual toes with that kind of expression and talk, reminding us that in the end, there will be some unexpected reversals. Like one commentator's put it, many will get to the table, including some surprises. Reminds me of something that John Newton was a slave dealer. He is also familiar to us as well because he authored the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace. And he once wrote and said, if I ever reach heaven, I expect to find three wonders there. First, to meet some I had not thought to see there. Second, to miss some I had thought to meet there. And third, the greatest wonder of all, to find myself there. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. That's really what ultimately gets any of us through that narrow door and into the reign of God, the everlasting gathering of God's people. Jesus isn't trying to tell us that if you have enough moral determination, enough willpower, enough personal strength, enough self-discipline, you can make it into the kingdom of God. That's not what he means when he talks about striving and making every effort. Entering God's realm, God's reign, always has been and always will be by grace through faith. But genuine repentance and faith, we're told, always involves knowing Jesus personally and doing his will and following his way in your life and in my life. That's important because in the end, he's the one who will judge us. The very one who is on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, on his way to a death that will secure the forgiveness of our sins and open the way to resurrection life. So remember that the one who will make the final assessment of your life and the final assessment of my life is the one who died for you and for me. Author, Pastor Frederick Buechner has written, the New Testament proclaims that at some unforeseeable time in the future, God will ring down the final curtain on history, and there will come a day on which all our days and all the judgments upon us and all our judgments upon each other will themselves be judged. The judge will be Christ. In other words, the one who judges us most fully will be the one who loves us most fully. Let me back up there again. In other words, the one who judges us most finally will be the one who loves us most fully. So here today, out of his great mercy and love for us, Jesus continues to invite us and exhort us. The narrow door is open, he says, but it won't stay open forever. So by God's grace and in God's power, make every effort, he says, to enter. On the other side of this door is the reign of God, a realm of life and joy, an everlasting gathering of God's people who can testify to you that all the labor, all the struggling, all the self-denial, all the faithfulness, all the self-giving, all the self-sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of Jesus Christ is worth it. Following in this way is worth it. So ultimately, it all comes down really to knowing Jesus. Where do you stand today in your relationship with Him and with His kingdom? Let's pray. Oh Lord, loving Savior, final judge of each of our lives, thank you for the good news of the kingdom and the door that is still open to us. Help us to make every effort to strive to follow in the way of Christ in obedience to Him and conformity to Him in our lives. We pray that you help us to keep our lives focused on your kingdom with attention on you and the life that only you can give through Jesus Christ. Continue to open our hearts and minds now to respond to your word further and what you're saying to each of us. We pray this now for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While we sing our hymn of commitment today,